When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Chip Tam and football. That's what Pittsburgh does. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the show. Brian Batko here with you, as always, from the Post Gazette, one of our Steelers beat writers. Going to have a fun one today, an interview with Duke Manyweather, O-line guru, works with, trains, evaluates, scouts, all sorts of incoming NFL linemen through OL Masterminds. He's very plugged into that world, and we know the Steelers are looking at linemen in the draft this year for sure. So it's going to be nice to talk to Duke on this show presented by Pella. No better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella, who can help you save on energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella windows and doors to find the right fit for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. That's 866-593-1560. To get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. Let's get into it. All right. Great to be joined today by Duke Manyweather, one of the best O-line whisperers out there. Works and trains a bunch of incoming NFL O-linemen through OL Masterminds. You can also check out his thoughts and observations on players at Big Duke 50. On the app, formerly known as Twitter. Thanks so much for jumping on with me, man. How's it going?
It's going well, man. In the thick of it, you know, we finished up a 10-week cycle of the combine and the draft guys. Sent them off to pro days, and a lot of them are on their 30 visits right now as they start to hit their final descent for the NFL draft. But no rest for the wicked because, you know, we're full tilt. And with our pro training. So really once January 1 comes, it's we hit the ground running with those young guys. And then as the season starts to wind down, the NFL, the house becomes very full with the vets. So that's kind of where we are now. A lot of vet training going on and, you know, starting to taper these guys to return back to their offseason program.
Sure thing. Well, I really wanted to have an OL analyst on here because, you know, we're going to get to this 2024 draft class in a bit. And I think the Steelers are about as likely as any team to probably use their first round pick on a lineman, maybe even two of their first three. But Duke, first, I want to have a little bit of a discussion with you about kind of how they got to this point, because in recent years, they've drafted a few guys you've worked with and trained and kept in touch with and followed their careers. Dan Moore, Kendrick Green, Kevin Dotson, obviously one of them still here. One who didn't really work out in Pittsburgh and one who just got, you know, absolutely paid after getting a change of scenery out in LA. What jumps out to you about those three, either as individual players or their tenures here in Pittsburgh or some combination of all that?
Yeah, well, let's start with Dan because Dan's still in the building. You know, Dan is one of those guys where I think that, you know, he was a fourth round pick a couple of years ago and every year people are looking to replace him, you know. But there's something to be said about the way Dan goes about his business, the way he prepares, and the way he's gotten better every single year. And I think that the coaching staff and I think the front office respects that. And so what you're seeing now is a guy that has started, you know, for 3 years or so and has turned into a really solid football player. Does he have things that he needs to continue to develop and clean up? Absolutely. Most players do. I think that fans often view times, they don't know what good and quality starters are in terms of the difference between an elite guy and, you know, a good starter. There's a lot more good and average baseline in the NFL than there is elite. And, you know, you can make the argument that, you know, Dan Moore has kind of exceeded expectation for where he was drafted and just he hasn't given up anything. in terms of his spot or anything like that. So everything's really been earned for Dan, and I'm excited to see it because I think this offseason so far, and, you know, he still has his offseason program and the summer block, but it's been his best. Really mature in terms of the way his body's looking right now. He's always worked really hard, but I just see a different sense of urgency in the way he moves and just like some of the grown man strength is coming. So I'm excited to see how that translates in the fall, if he can continue to build upon that momentum once he gets back to Pittsburgh and then once we get him back here in the summer and then going into camp. So love Dan and be really interested to see. I like to see him take another leap and be a little more consistent in his pass protection and anchoring.
I think a lot of people were kind of surprised he did hold off Broderick Jones, you know, last year in training camp, and Broderick found his way into the starting lineup on the right side. But that's always sort of the conversation with Dan is the Steelers are, you know, looking to upgrade, but you probably hit it on the head that he's been a solid, you know, they know what they're getting out of him on that left side for the last few years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think Broderick was not ready to play early on. You know, he kind of had to work himself into understanding what the pro game is. And that's the thing is, like, you can physically be quote unquote pro ready, but to be truly pro ready, there's no such thing, man. There's a mental component that comes with that. There is, of course, the physical component. And then there's also just the steadfastness that's needed as well. Sometimes guys get a rude awakening when they have had success in college. They think, oh shit, well, I'm gonna go to the NFL and have this same type of success right off the bat. And that's not always the case sometimes. And the other factor is you got to realize that schematic wise and coaching and technique wise, you're going to be asked to do new things that maybe are not within your comfort zone. And so you got to find that happy medium of giving the coaching staff what they want while also showing them how you do things. And when you show them how you do things, you got to be able to win. So I think the way Broderick finished the season, it should be pretty, Steelers fans should be pretty excited for the future there.
I think they are with him for sure. Yeah,
and definitely.
You know, the one spot on the O-line right now where they really don't have anybody with NFL experience, at least considerable amount of center. You know, Kendrick Green was a guy a couple years ago they drafted to try to take over there. Personally, I really liked the pick at the time. I'm not an O-line expert. Just seemed like he had the mentality, the athleticism, the power to work out right away. What do you make of his sort of rough stint here? And obviously now he's down in Houston, and things are going better for him at the time before his injury.
It's very simple. And I respect Coach Tomlin. I respect Pat Meyer. Got a great relationship with both of them. And I've been very frank with them about this, is that Kendrick Green should have been playing left guard from the start, like he is down in Houston, and Kevin Dotson should have been playing right guard from the start. There's this conversation that always goes on about, oh, well, guys got to be able to play both sides. Just bullshit. If you're drafting a guy, and I understand getting your best five, but if you're drafting a guy and you have the opportunity to play him at his college position that he's had success at, play him at that position. Kevin Dotson had, you know, 50 something starts for Louisiana Lafayette at right guard. You know, left guard was never comfortable for him. It was never, you know, really where he felt that he can do some of the things that he was doing. And I think he played some games at right guard in Pittsburgh his first year, and he thrived. He looked very promising there. So I was always a proponent of having KD at right guard and having KG at left guard. And here's the thing is KG's athleticism, his strength, his power was nullified because when you're giving a guy a new position, specifically at center is one of the most nuanced and technical positions that you can play on the O-line, because now the ball becomes a part of your stance. So you're learning a new stance. And then you're having to pick up on all the calls and the coverages and things of that nature to try to get the other four guys on the same page. And so you have, you know, 2 seconds, 3 seconds to do this. So once that happens, you can't play as fast and as aggressive as you need to. So at that point, there's no the strength, power, and explosiveness that he has kind of nullified. So for me, when I look at what a player can do, you know, what we knew Kendrick Green could do is play left guard and be powerful and be able to reach shades and be able to reach three techniques, be able to be powerful on the deuce blocks and things of that nature. And it was natural for him at left guard because that's really what he did in Illinois with very, very minimal game reps at center. I think he ended up playing three starts. He played four games when Alex got hurt, or it might have been Doug Kramer. I can't remember which one. I think it was Doug Kramer got hurt in Illinois. But, I mean, that was just – it was a glimpse. I mean, three games out of – I believe he had 40-something starts at left guard. So, again, with those two guys, I just really had wished that Pittsburgh stuck with them at right. I think I may have tweeted that a couple of years ago. Like, somebody had, like, what do you do with the Steelers? Like, you put Kendrick Green at left guard and you put Kevin Dotson at right guard in row. And I'm not the guy to say I told you so, but we saw what Kendrick did when he got down to the Texans at left guard. And then you saw what KD did in LA once he played, was fixed at right guard in Los Angeles.
Yeah, absolutely. And it could be a, you know, win-win for everybody if the Steelers get this offensive line sort of gelling and cohesive this year, because they went a different direction. They went free agency with James Daniels and Isaac Seumalo in back-to-back offseason. So, you know, different ways of sort of building your team. And I think that's why I think a lot of people expect they'll go back to the draft this year to go, you know, replenish the pipeline to a degree. So let's look at this 2024 group a little bit, Duke. I mean, you know, the Steelers lose Mason Cole. Well, they released Mason Cole this offseason at center, released Chukwuma Okorafor for it at right tackle. I think a lot of fans who are consuming the draft content at this time of year think if they can't get their hands on Jaxson Powers-Johnson or Zach Frazier or maybe Cedric Van Pran from Georgia, they're going to be pulling Dermoni Dawson out of retirement to play center. What are your thoughts on this center group, and is there more depth than there is, you know, from the media perspective right now at this point?
Yeah, there's a very strong center group. And, you know, you just mentioned a few names there, and JPJ and Zach Frazier. Zach Frazier's kind of got Steelers written all over him, doesn't he?
He's from the backyard, man. Morgantown's only about an hour away from here in Western PA.
Absolutely. Kind of reminds you of a Mike Webster type. But, I mean, there's options at center in this draft. You know, does a Graham Barton play center? Is he that type of option? You mentioned Van Pran, you know, does Tanner Bortolini fit into that? I mean, there's a bunch of guys, you know, there's probably six or seven, maybe close to eight guys that you can draft at center. And I think six of them have a good chance of, you know, maybe cracking the starting lineup immediately in the fall. But a very deep center class and a very deep tackle class. I mean, there's probably some guards that have the ability to potentially play center. I know a guy like Dom Pooney from Kansas is a guy that has played up and down the offensive line. And I can tell you, Graham Barton and Dom Pooney are legitimately guys that can play all five positions and probably play them at a high level. I think Dom Pooney is probably going to be really special at center. I think that's his position, his pro position. So you look at that, you look at like maybe some lesser known guys that have the traits. A guy that I work with, Mason McCormick out of South Dakota State, lit up the combine, had a bunch of starts for South Dakota. I think 50 something starts at left guard, but play some senior, some center at the Shrine game, did really well. So he's a guy that, you know, teams may be looking at for center. But I say all that to say this, that there are definitely options at center, just as if there are options at tackle. So don't feel like that if you don't get two or three names that are mainstream, that all is lost. Because you could probably find a quality starter at center, probably four rounds deep potentially. Now the approach to that is what becomes the context and the approach to that is what becomes king. Because if you're saying, "Hey, we want to draft a center that's going to be immediately a difference maker. And it, you're probably talking about three or four names in that. So it just really depends on the approach.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess there's obviously a still some level of projection there, even if you see a guy do it in, you know, Senior Bowl or workouts or whatever. That's what I was going to ask you, Duke, because, I mean, we just talked about Kendrick Green and why he might have been playing out of position a little bit. What gives you, I guess, the confidence that somebody like Graham Barton at the top end out of Duke, who I think just at his pro day a couple weeks ago was, or last week was working out at center for scouts, and, you know, and he played it early in his career at Duke, whether it's him or Dominic Pooney, who I know we haven't talked about too much here on our Post Gazette podcast, but he is, you know, somebody who's rising up the boards a little bit. What makes you think that those guys might be able to make that switch quicker, or even for the, you know, long term of their career, it might suit them, even if they weren't necessarily playing it all the time at the college level?
Well, let's start with Graham. Again, I think Graham would be dynamic at any position. You draft him, and he gives you tremendous position flexibility, in my opinion. I don't think you can go wrong with a guy like that. I think if a team says, hey, we want to keep him at left tackle, he'll be a hell of a left tackle.
He'll find a way, yeah.
Absolutely. He's that type of guy, that type of kid. But from what I've seen at him at center, the intangibles in terms of him being able to use his offhand, being able to fit combos and double teams, and then be able to slip off and execute blocks on the second level. Him be able to reach a shade that is on his snap pan, him being able to reach a 2-eye and sometimes even a 3 technique and run a by. So those are all intangibles that centers must be able to make. And you see that with the top guys. You see that with JPJ. You see that with Zach Frazier. But when you're talking about a guy projected in the center, he's able to make those blocks on the tape. I've seen Dom Pooney make those blocks. And just with Dom, when he lined up in our training and kind of started to snap and move, everything was natural for him. Normally, when you get a guard or a tackle moving inside to play center a little bit, there's a learning curve and some teaching that you had to do. But just his snap timing with snapping the ball, getting his offhand in or snapping the ball and being able to fit that snap hand back was really impressive to me. And then he went out to the Senior Bowl and did a lot of those similar things when he had a head up nose on him, or where he had a 2-eye to him. So those type of traits and critical factors give me really great hope for those two guys to be able to make the transition in and play center if they need to.
I was going to say, I imagine when guys are working with somebody like you, if you're making that switch, you probably got to get a lot of rough snaps out of the way before you get to that point where you're smooth and crisp with it at the NFL level. Because even a vet like Mason Cole that the Steelers had last year was having some snapping issues. I mean, I guess those things can crop up from time to time.
Well, let's talk about that. So
even Marquise Pouncey, I covered him at the end of his career, dude. He wasn't always perfect.
Here's the thing. Fans, I'm going to cuss here. Fans are just that. They're fanatics. That's what fans are short for.
Right.
And they fucking have these blinders on that they only see the bad snaps. Let me fucking tell you something. Jason Kelce has bad snaps. Creed Humphreys has bad snaps. Both Pounceys have bad snaps. Rodney Hudson has bad snaps. And you know why? Because they're in shotgun 70 times a game.
Yeah.
That's why. Like, the margin for error, like, it's wild to me that people can see this. These guys are human beings that have a lot of different things. And don't give me that bullshit about, oh, that's what they get paid to do. Yes, but at the same time, the degree of difficulty when you have a guy over you, when the game is on the line, when it's noisy, you're going to have some bad snaps. You factor in that sometimes your hand get dinged up and things of that nature, you're going to have bad snaps. So it's not something that you want to make a habit, but like the fact of the matter is there are a lot of excellent and great and dynamic centers that have had bad snaps. Now, Mason Cole, I wouldn't put him in the category of a good or a great center. He was a guy that was very interesting that the Steelers signed him and kind of saw starting potential. I never saw that out of him. I thought he was a career backup. So to me, he was always a stopgap guy. So when he had struggles, it didn't surprise me. I mean, I knew that's who he was. I saw a lot of the tape that he had in Minnesota and then also in Arizona. So it was no shock to me that, you know, there were going to be some struggles there. What was more shocking is that people thought that he was like the second coming and he was going to be the center. I just didn't see that with him.
Yeah. And now they've obviously chosen to go in a different direction, and we'll see how they rebuild that position there. But well, I think that's pretty much all I had for you, Duke. Is there anything else you wanted to add, whether it's on, Steelers linemen coming back or anybody else in this draft class who might be a sleeper, before I let you get out of here?
You know,
DJ Burns to right tackle in the
NFL. Oh, man.
We're taping this on right before the Final Four. People won't get it till after, but I did see, I think his coach just said that's not happening. He's a teddy bear away from the basketball court.
Yeah, it's funny. Again, people like to romanticize a lot of this stuff, but at the end of the day, there's a different type of mindset, mentality, and physicality that comes with putting your hand in the dirt and being an offensive lineman. And so it's fun to joke about, and tremendous basketball player, tremendous athlete. But the guys that line up on Sundays and the five across, it's a different breed out there, man. A sleeper that people may want to take a look at, and not so much a sleeper. I mean, this guy's pretty acclaimed, but I mean, a guy like Cooper Beebe from Kansas State could be a guy that potentially moves in the center and be tremendous there. So again, just kind of some of these projections. And as far as just O-line in general, if you're a fan, if you're aspiring to be a scout to learn more about offensive line or anything of that nature, download the OL Masterminds app. It's on the Google Play Store. It's on the App Store for iPhones. And there is something for everybody on there. I highly recommend to download and subscribe. Any and everything that we do in terms of training, in terms of the mental mindset. I know a lot of media members have and coaches have grabbed a subscription because all our O-line Mastermind Summit clips are on there. So if there's a topic or something that people want clarity or how some of the best in the world do it, it's on there. So again, there's something for everybody. Google Play Store, the App Store for iPhone. Download it, subscribe. You won't be sorry. There's so much on there. And it make you a smarter fan, make you a smarter journalist and personality, make smarter coaches, smarter players. Just all around a great development tool.
Fantastic. Yeah, a lot of Steelers fans might be cramming on the offensive line these last few weeks until the draft, man. So yep. It'll be interesting to see which big fellas they bring in here. And sure seems like philosophically they want to build this thing through the O-line. So great, insightful stuff from you. It's fun to pick your brain a little bit, Duke. Appreciate you taking this time. And best of luck to all your OL Masterminds guys in the draft, all right?
Thanks, Brian. Talk soon.
Sure thing. Yep. For Duke Manyweather, I'm Brian Batko. We know there are countless Steelers and NFL shows out there, so just want to say thanks to you, as always, for finding ours here at the Post-Gazette. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.